Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to today, September 10, 2014's call on the WHOIS Internationalized Registration Data Expert Working Group. On the line, we have Dennis, Jody, Nishit, Naoki, Takao, Jim, and myself, Steve Shang. So over to you, Jim.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you for everyone for joining us here and coming back on board. I apologize, you know, Steve and I were a little bit late here in pulling some of this text together over the last couple of days and getting out what we did, but I appreciate folks who jumped in and took a look at things and started to make some comments. Just a quick logistical overall comment here for us. Steve and I were checking dates and deadlines here. I'm a little nervous at the moment. We had talked about trying to be done by Los Angeles, at least, you know, the bulk of the work by then. I'm a little nervous as to whether or not we're actually going to be able to do that, unfortunately. Steve and I have a conflict next week, and we won't be able to meet next week. We have an ESSAC workshop to attend to, and it'll be all day on Wednesday. And that's going to put us back a week, and I believe, if I've got my calendar right, that only gives us two more opportunities to meet before the ICANN meeting, because the 8th, if I'm counting right, so two more, because it's not clear to me we'll be able to meet on the 8th. We haven't really talked about people's travel plans for the ICANN meeting. That'll be the week after. And in any case, clearly we're not going to make any kind of publication cycle before the next ICANN meeting at the rate that we're going. I don't want to feel, I mean, although I want to get this done and be out of this, I don't want to feel constrained or pressured to push and force this to be done by LA. I'm much more inclined at this point. I feel like that we're sort of coming together, and I really want to put the time and effort into trying to document and carefully being clear about everything that we're trying to say. So I'm not inclined to pressure us to be done by LA, but I'd be interested in any comments that anyone has to make about the schedule. I don't imagine we would go very much longer than LA. I absolutely don't think there's any reason we should be running past the end of this year, even if we spread out our meetings a bit because of other travel conflicts. But that's where I am. Any comments from anyone, opinions?
This is Jody. I'm fine with that.
Okay, so thank you, Jody. I'm not hearing any objections from anyone. So, you know, just quick reiteration summary. I mean, I think we're in a pretty good place, but I want to spend the time making sure that we get this right. I want to do a really good job here and make sure that there's no confusion. So, okay. Does that sound good to you, Steve, in particular, and, you know, you're prepared to follow this through with that in mind?
But I can try. I'm not sure I can follow through, but if not, I will make sure to find some other staff to be able to support the effort.
Okay. We sort of indirectly just made visible there that, you know, Steve has many additional responsibilities, and we were kind of hoping that this would all be, you know, put aside so that we could be done here and Steve would get his time back and be free to move on to other things. So we may have an issue there, but we're going to manage that. So hopefully that'll all be under control and things will be smooth for us as we go along. Okay. So at this point, let's just dig into the comments that we have here. How would people like to do this? I'll make a suggestion. I added a section 3.3. So let me start with the overall, you know, sort of structure question of whether that – does anyone think that, you know, that's a real issue or that we should do something different? Is it okay to have that technical challenges, section 3.3, before we dig into specifics? Okay, so not hearing anything, I'm assuming we're going to go forward here with that. So past that point, then I think I'm just going to page through the document here and grab onto some of the comments that others have made here and put in. So I'm going to page through. I have some comments here to myself, but I'll ask a couple of them here on the list as we go through. So on page 5 is where we first have this reference to the fact that there's more than one proposal. I was realizing that in this document, while we were moving forward with the data model, we kind of overlooked going backwards and taking out the 3 proposals. So we are going to move forward with just one proposal. I believe that our current consensus is in the direction of the address being appropriate for the region in which it's located. So I'm not inclined to just start ripping out text yet, but I wanted to state that that's the direction I believe we're headed in case that anybody wants to jump up and actually object to that outright. But I do want to start to clean up the text with that in mind. And that's my comment here at page 5. I have that comment about, do we really need this? What I really mean is, let's pick the one we're going with, and we have to clean all the text up to go along with that. Okay? And so the next comment that's in here is actually one from Noki on page 7, where he's talking about the contact identifier types. And I believe the answer to that comment is yes. If no one objects, then that's the way I'll resolve that, is creating the reference to that particular section, just as you suggest there, Noki. And then we'll resolve it when we fix that. So that was a good catch. Thank you. All right, so scrolling on down from there, yeah, so beginning in Section 3, Scope and Methodology, I added that paragraph that I highlighted there at the bottom of page 10 where I say this needs to be written differently. I kind of wrote it in a rather direct way. I was trying to put some introduction there. What I really want there is I want to go back and look and remind myself how the Directory Services Expert Working Group, you know, described what it was doing, you know, its model of providing an ideal solution or sort of the preferred solution. The context in which we want to set here is that since we're just providing, you know, expert working group recommendations, I think that we should paint the best picture that we can and then highlight the issues that we know exist. I'm suggesting that the overall process is the next step after our group is when a PDP group is created, presumably, or an implementation plan is created, depending on what the next action is out of this group, they will need to identify what they want to do about the open technical challenges. That'll be the opportunity when they'll decide that there's a transition process and, you know, they'll lay out the specifics of what is to be implemented now versus what will be implemented later and the steps along the way. And so our goal is simply to call out the questions and make it known that there are challenges that need to be addressed when it comes time to implement. And I need to find something better than those 2 sentences to describe all that. Does that seem reasonable to people? So I'm not hearing any objections. Okay. And then moving to the bottom of page 11, I see, Noki, that you changed domain information, and thank you for that. But I was referring actually to all of the labels. If you could change all the labels, mostly because I realize that that's not the way you actually do it right now, but I think that it's appropriate for us in this document, again, to be describing both ends of the spectrum. So the, you know, we have one nice work Japanese example. Let's get it all in Japanese. And then when we have the other example where things are localized, I think that that's, you know, where we'll use other names. So if you could actually fix the rest of those up, that would be very helpful. Okay. Continuing to scroll down. People can feel free to stop me if you want to get somewhere else. Okay, so moving into section 331, so section 3.3, the technical considerations. So, the word transform, everybody's been saying translation into transliteration. The transform verb comes from that translation and transliteration solutions study that ICANN did. So we just have to pull in a reference to that and explain that word. That's what I want to do there. Let's see. Let's move down to Naoki's comment. We should divide the section of EPP and who is problems. Sure. So question, Naoki, do you think that we should have subsections inside of the technical protocol section, or do you think we should split the whole thing into two sections?
I think subsection is preferred.
So a subsection, okay. So I guess that's fine with me. I like the structure, and that has the nice advantage that it gets it into the table of contents, and that makes it easy to reference and for people to go find. So I actually like that. All right. So we'll do that in another iteration. So moving down to the bottom of page 16 here to Jody's comment. So we'll have to fix the statement, but it's the attribute type, which can be loc or int. I think I've got that right. And that particular attribute can be on any protocol element. So it's not about one language or script for the overall EPP object. It's a type attribute for each of the elements inside, that attribute is valid for all elements. I think that's true. Since you asked the question, it's also worth a double check, which I'll do that and make sure.
Well, I think you're right, Jim, but to me that the statement reads that you can put a language and script on each data element, which I don't think you can.
I actually thought that you could, and you're saying no. Okay.
Well, I looked at the at the RFC, and I didn't see anywhere where you could specify a language or a script. I mean, I'm not as familiar as I'd like to be with it, but looking at the document, I couldn't find that as far as in RFC 5733 or 5730, and maybe I missed.
Oh, okay.
That's what I don't understand.
Now I understand the issue. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Who was talking?
This is Jody.
Oh, no, it sounded like someone else jumped in there. Okay. You're right, Jody. I'm saying that very poorly. The way that I look at there's a way to put a tag identifier on these things, and what actually has to happen. And you're right. I have to go look up exactly how to do this and get the specification right. So now that you've called this out and asked this question, you've made me realize this is not represented well. It's not that you can specify separately the language or script. The deal is you can put a tag on things, and that tag has to be a label which actually embodies both the language and script together itself. That's the way this is done. That's kind of the technical issue, and it's an interesting point in XML in general as to whether or not you want to be able to split those apart or you want to create a registry of labels where each label represents a language and script pair. So that's the issue. And I'll have to, I mean, even myself, I don't work with this stuff every day, so I have to go back and look up the details so that we can explain this right. So that was a good catch, and I will expand on that to make that both clearer and certainly accurate.
Okay.
Okay. I think that's it. I mean, those are the comments that are there for 331. So if there's nothing else in that section, we'll move on to the next one here, which is actually quite short. That was the one section, really didn't expand on that. I got to writing the thematic sentence, but did not expand on the text at all and what needs to go there. But I presume that we all understand what has to be filled out and described there. And this is where we'll get to say more about the fact that the labels that are used are represent a pair of both a language and a script. But the point here is that, in order to validation is what requires this. In order to really properly do validation here and make sure you've got the right language and script involved, you have to have something to compare it to. And so the obvious, challenge that exists is the fact that a registry of such things is not there. And so that needs to come into existence. And the suggestion here, the recommendation that comes out of this, is that ICANN should facilitate the creation and then, of course, development of precisely that registry so that, registrars and others can make use of it in an efficient way. Okay, and then the workflow changes. No one else had any real comments in that section at the moment.
Jim, this is Jody.
Please, Jody, go ahead.
As far as the workflow changes are required at registrars, are we suggesting in here that someone will have to take a standardization look at how addresses are to be sent to the registries? As far as, region-specific script and language?
I see two problem spaces. And, let me see if I can... I truly do not have a bias in terms of the solution space here, okay? But I do see two problem spaces. I'm going to describe the problem in terms of solutions, unfortunately, because it's just easiest for me to think about it that way, okay? So there's the registrar side of it, which is the presentation to the user or the request from the user of their address. What's the right way to do that, right? In today's market, we have basically the Western construct of put up a form, right? Address line 1, line 2, city, state, postal code, that kind of stuff, and put it there. I don't think that's going to work in the future. If you're going to truly internationalize and you want to represent the best part of the market, that's not a general solution. You need to know the country that a registrant's coming from, and then you need to ask them for the appropriate information for that country, which presumes that you kind of know what that is. Now, that to me is the workflow change. Now, on the other hand, a potential solution here in this space is that not all registrars work all over the world, right? I mean, GoDaddy is probably one that has the greatest burden here in this space. But other registrars have very limited business scope. So it may be that they can just drop a form out there because they're only interested in talking to certain registrants anyway. And if you don't fit into that model, you can't fill out the form, that doesn't worry them. But that's one problem space. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. The second part of the problem space is, what does the registry store? And in this case, I'm thinking about the ability to support search. Okay. Because the ability to support search means that you have to be able to create indices in a database. And to be able to create indices, you've got to have structure on the data. And if I'm going to have structure on the data, if I've already bought into the idea that the Western construct of address line 1-2 city state postal code isn't going to work, that turns out to be the structure of the database that's used. And if that's not the structure of the database I'm going to use, just exactly what is the structure of the database? And obviously, that's important because it determines what's available to build your indices to make searching work. And I don't really know the answer there, but I observe that it's a problem space. Make sense?
Okay.
And that actually affects registrars, too, to the extent that, ComNet and Jobs and what is it? ComNet, Jobs, those are the only three that are thin registries, and while they continue to be thin registries, the registrars have got all the data. So they actually have that problem too for now. So now that I've gone through saying all of that, what's interesting is that's really what I need to, this text needs to be expanded to kind of say all of that too. I think that would be helpful. Would that be correct?
Yes.
Down the road, one possible solution could be here that, you know, the domain name ecosystem, if you will, simply decides that it's going to take, you know, addresses in this form, or maybe it's going to say, you know, here's an open box, just type in whatever here, and we'll just store it as a flat string and somehow learn to represent carriage returns, if you will. Sort of the standard old-time computer science problem, right? I don't know. Just making stuff up here. Okay. That gets us to the end of that new text. Let's keep scrolling down here to see. I don't actually remember offhand what other comments I made later on. Yeah, if there's anything new. Here's a comment. No, that's an old comment. Okay. Here's a good question for the group. So moving to the bottom of page 25. We have section 614 and 615, country and followed by country code. And I'm suddenly thinking to myself, should these things be required to match? Because we don't say that here. That seems like a sensible thing to do to me, you know, that those things should match. However, what struck me is that, well, maybe not. Maybe we don't want to pick those two out. We may want to have, we may want to let the requirement for those things to match to fall out of the validation of the address. Because arguably, all of the address components need to fit together. So there's a matching thing here which goes between country and country code, and then there's the whether or not the address is operationally valid at all. And so the question that I have here for the group is, do we want to speak to this issue at all? I think we could reasonably say nothing, but I also think we could reasonably say that the country and country code have to match. And then the secondary question to, if we say they have to match, is, do we want to say anything interesting about the postal code? Comments?
Jim, this is Jody for the queue.
So Jody, please go ahead.
I'm not sure if it's within our what do I want to say, our whatever we've been given to produce here, to produce a verification engine like that. I think that that's been covered by an RAA, and I'm not sure if we want to get into the validation of country and country code, because if we do that, should we get into the validation of city within a postal, within a region, city within a state, street within a state, or city or street within a city, that kind of thing? Where do we stop, I guess, is my question.
So my quick response is I agree with you, actually. I don't want to use the word validate.
Or verify, yeah, however you want to.
Yeah, or verify. I would say that it's not within our remit. It's not within the scope of our charter. We can certainly mention that we're, you know, thinking in that context, and when times come up. So for example, the business about the address, the language and script should be appropriate for the region, setting up, you know, validation to be more effective. So in this case, so I think that answers the question to me that I had before about whether or not we should care about whether or not these pieces all fit together, meaning the address, country, postal code. So this is really a matching thing, not a validation thing. You know, arguably country and country code should certainly match. They should be the same. That's not about whether they're the right value and they're aligned with anything else in the address, but these two obviously could reasonably have a requirement to match. Do we want to suggest that, explicitly not suggest it? Say anything at all about the fact that we're not going to say anything about it?
Takao, could you put him in queue?
So Takao, please, go ahead.
So the issue here is that the country and the country code are talking about the same thing, and then just different way of defining it, and then yes, they have to match. And then my question is, if they don't match, what shall we do? It's not clear to me. So it seems in this particular case, it seems to make sense to mention that they should match. And then I agree that we shouldn't put the validation. But meanwhile, I just wonder what to do if they don't match.
Well, my answer to what they do if they don't match is I don't think that we need to speak to that, because I think it falls into the same category as if we're saying that an address has to be in a language or script appropriate for the region, and we're not going to speak to the issue of what do you do if it's inappropriate. I think that's for some other policy to decide.
Okay.
We just make particular technical requirements, and somebody else sets up the business rules for how you implement that.
Okay.
So I would say that we could reasonably say that country and country code should match, because they should. What you do if they don't match, I think that's a business rule, and that'll be decided later.
Okay.
And so, Jody, you know, any reaction to saying that these two things should match, as opposed to, you know, and explicitly not speaking to any kind of verification or validation of the data, just that these two things should be the same, whatever they are?
I think that I'd just rather not address that, just because I feel like it's outside of the scope of what we've been asked to do, even though it seems to be minor.
Anyone else have a comment?
I'm fine with that.
Okay, so I'm not hard over about this. It was just something that came to my mind. Less work is always better than more. To the extent we're not actually speaking, I mean, that validation and verification is really not in our remit, it's probably best that we don't say anything about that. So I'm just going to make that a reply here for this. I'm not going to click resolve just yet because I want to leave the comment in there so I don't forget as we're going through this later, and we'll clean it up later. Okay. Scrolling on down through the document again here. I think that might be the end of the comments. Don't recall if there's anything else down here. Oh, no, now we're into the data model. Yeah, I'm into the data model. I didn't make any comments in the data model. I'm not. I'm in 6.7. Okay, so Noki ran the XML through a parser, I gather, and found that there are issues with it. Noki, can you help us clean it up? Could you edit this in such a way as to clean it up? I'm down at the bottom of page 39 here, top of page 40.
Yes, this is Naoki. XML representation is not valid with EPPRC, but if I have a XML schema, I can write valid XML data.
Okay, do you need someone to provide you with a schema, or could you put something together?
I can propose a domain schema.
Okay, if you could do that and could check this, that would be good. I just want to make sure that as much as possible, let's just make sure there's no obvious syntax errors or anything like that in this. Okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you. I'd appreciate that. Okay, and that takes us to the bottom of the document. Right, I didn't do anything in the appendices, so that's fine there. Okay. From my point of view, that's as much as I had for today because that's as much as I had gotten done and put in there. So, I will take as an action to continue what I'm doing here and expand and prepare additional text and add some more out there and then alert people when, there's another chunk of things to look at and review. Does anyone have any other comments or questions they want to ask about the text as it is right now? Okay, hearing nothing.
Hey, Jim. This is Jody.
Jody, go ahead.
Sorry, I was on mute. I just have a general question. So we will be taking out, I didn't speak up before, but I want to make sure that I understand, we will be taking out the three proposals that we have for freeform text, et cetera, for the address, and only be proposing that the region, that it must match, the script and language must match what's applicable for that region or what's locally accepted for that region.
Yes, that's the model that we're going to recommend.
But Jim, are we going to take out explaining those three models?
Fair question. I guess my plan was to take them out. I'm thinking we're going to put out there what we think is the right model and provide the justification for it. Do people feel differently?
This is Jody. I feel that we should be explaining the three different models and why we've chose the model. I think that if you leave one model in there, there'll be questions as to did you even consider another model?
Okay.
I think that having those pros and cons in there is good. I mean, I'm not sure that I totally agree with the having to have the region match or the script and the language match the region just because of operational issues that's going to put on the registries and the registrars if that's enforceable.
Okay. I'm good with that. I don't really have a vested particular bias here in that respect. So I'm fine with putting it all together. What I'm going to seek to do is structure it a little bit differently to kind of put the recommendation up, and then I will put the others down as alternate models that were discussed, and we'll keep the discussion about the pros and cons of those. Thus, I want to sort of lead in and emphasize the pros and cons of the, I'll call it the preferred model. Does that seem okay for right now with folks?
This is Jody. For me, it does.
Okay. Thank you, Jody. Okay, so once again, any other comments or questions from anyone about the text that we have here right now overall? Okay. So with that, I'm prepared to move to adjournment. Just a reminder, we won't meet next week because I'm not available, and not to be overly, chair's prerogative, but I figure at the moment I'm driving, sort of what we're doing here, so it feels like meeting without me would not be as productive as a meeting with me. If anyone wants to object and step up and do this, I'm happy to step aside and let the meeting happen. So not hearing any objections, so we won't meet next week. Folks should feel free to look through this document and, edit text and make changes. The one thing that I really don't like about Google Docs is it's rather difficult to track when other people are changing things. So I don't have any problem with people just doing some cleanup here and there if you find little editorial things that you want to change. But if you make a substantive change, and I guess there's adjustment there as to what's substantive, it'd be helpful if you put a comment around the text and indicate in the comment that you changed something here, just to call it out for the rest of us. I'm inclined to leave the document in Google Docs, and folks can keep up with it and make their comments and changes there. But if you do make any kind of substantive change, highlight it in some way so we can see it, since redlining is not especially effective or efficient in a Google Doc.
Jim, this is Steve. In the Google Doc, there's a feature called See Revision History that will show a revision done by everybody, what changes each person did to the document. And those are, it's probably not as good as Word, but it does have those functions.
Right. Thank you for that. Go ahead. Sounded like Dennis speaking.
Yeah, Jim. Just to add on, Steve, the Google also has a mode. So I think most of us are in editing mode. And if we can change the suggesting, that kind of works with the track as were in track changes. So it will highlight what you're changing on the document and not edit directly. If somebody wants to add language, but let everybody know what changed, try to use suggesting instead of editing directly.
Really? That's something new. Now, I'm looking up here at the top, and I see this mode thing. Is that something that only the owner can do? Because I don't seem to be able to do anything there.
What mode?
I'm right now I see editing, right? I'm changing to suggesting, and I start typing, and my edits are in a green box.
Oh, really?
And there's also a comment added to the left where it says, Denistan, add, and, whatever thing I added. And I guess somebody else can approve or reject the editing. But the problem is that you have to change to suggesting mode, and otherwise, if you do it in editing mode, just go directly to the document without any marks or earmarks or whatever.
Dennis, how do I get it to suggestion mode?
Oh, okay. So.
Oh, wait a minute.
Maybe because I'm in Chrome, and that's an added feature for Chrome.
Okay, I'm in Chrome too.
You're in Chrome too? Okay, so on the very top, you see all our initials, right? So I think people already looking at the document, and you have the comments box and the share button. So below that bar, there is the mode bar, and you can pick editing, suggesting, and viewing. Don't you have that?
I actually just found it now. I found the button where it lets me change it. I was in a display before that wouldn't let me change it. I changed mine to suggesting. Does it not change the whole document then when that happens, or does it only change it for me?
So what are we testing, Jim? What page are you in right now? And see if I can see what you are suggesting.
I'm on the title page.
You are on the title.
No, what I mean is, okay. What I mean is, go to the top of the document. I changed my mode to suggesting, and the question is, did that change it for everybody or just for me?
That's good. So, I'm tapping as of now. Do you see my ad?
Yeah.
I did. You put draft in front of draft, and it put it over there. So I changed the mode of the document.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Outstanding, Dennis. That must be a relatively new feature.
Yeah, I think it's new. I don't recall seeing it before.
I still didn't see how to change it, though. So let me...
So I wonder if I just do this. Yep. It works like word track changes. So I...
Yes.
Overwritten draft with lowercase, and you can see the... Right? Straightening out.
Very nice.
Indeed, exactly. Awesome.
Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah, so I see that Naok is already testing it too. So, yeah, if we could use suggesting if we don't want to keep track of the languages that we are adding or suggest to delete, we should use this feature.
That is just outstanding. So thank you for that, Dennis. I had not known that feature existed. And, so I've changed the document suggesting, and let's all try and keep it that way. And that will satisfy the concern.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. Anything else from anyone? All right, so our next meeting will be in 2 weeks. And, continue to give this document as thorough a review as we can. Please, add and make changes in this suggesting mode, and that'll be a good thing. So, Steve, over to you to adjourn.
Was there someone trying to speak? Okay, hearing now. The meeting is adjourned. Our next meeting will be in 2 weeks. From Wednesday in 2 weeks. And with that, thank you very much. Operator, could you start the recording?